So in Psalm 94, verses 12 to 14, we read, "Blessed is the man whom you correct, O Yah, and teach out of your law." So we are blessed because Yahweh is teaching us out of his law. And those children, those who are in the thousand-year millennium, will be blessed because they will be taught out of the law of Yahweh. See? They won't have the knowledge of evil. In verse 13, it says, "That you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." And this is what we want to concentrate on, the inheritance of Yahweh, because the seed of the blessed, and the blessed are going to be the 144,000, so their children and children's children are going to be the seed of the blessed. "For judgment shall return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it." So those who are upright, those who are seeking to serve Yahweh, who are upright in heart, will be following the commandments. Now today, we look at all of these people in the world. Very few follow Yahweh's commandments. Very few. As a matter of fact, out of the almost 8 billion, it's over 7 billion now in the world. Now, out of all those people, you have a fraction of a percentage of people who keep the law of Yah. And that's awesome when you think about it. All of these people who are going to and from, back and forth in the world, in all these different countries, there are very few that keep the law of Yahweh. There are very few that are keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. You understand? In Isaiah chapter 1, now, Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah is speaking to Yahweh's people, the ones who were, he was actually the prophet to. And he's speaking to the kings of Judah and the people of Judah. And remember, Yehuda means the one who praises Yah. They're supposed to be worshiping Yahweh. Verse 12, it says, well, let's start in 10. It says, "Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom." Now, he's not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. He's talking about Judah. He's calling them Sodom. "Give ear to the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah." Now, we know Sodom and Gomorrah was made famous because of the homosexuality. And they were destroyed because of it. What is Yahweh, through Isaiah, trying to tell Judah? "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says Yahweh. I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my court?" The courts of Yahweh are supposed to be holy. You understand? We've been studying that in Leviticus and the prologue. See, those who come into the courts of Yahweh were supposed to be holy, offering their sacrifices because they had a contrite heart. They felt they had a sin that they wanted to get rid of. That's why they made the offering. But see, Yahweh saw that these offerings were just rote. They were just doing it because it was required. There was no love behind it, no thought. So here in Isaiah, he's saying in verse 13, bring no more vain oblations, no more vain offerings. See, it's like the Pharisees and the poor widow that offered her two mites, who gave her whole living, yet because they were rich, they can pull out 100,000 shekels and drop it in the treasury. It didn't mean a thing to them because they had plenty of money. See? So when someone gives up their living, they give all they have, Yahweh respects that. He sees that they are sincere. He says, incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assembly. I cannot endure iniquity along with the solemn meeting. Now, a lot of people read this and says, well, Yahweh doesn't want any more worshiping of the new moon or the Sabbath or the feast days because it says it here in this passage. That's not what the passage says. That's not what the passage is talking about. The passage is talking about where you see that line after calling of assemblies, that line across is called apostopesis. It means, you know, there's a thought that's continued there. I cannot endure sin, iniquity, along with the solemn meeting. So the Sabbath is a solemn meeting, the new moon, and the feast day. And he says he cannot endure sin along with that. Your new moon and your appointed feast, my soul hates because of what they were doing. It wasn't because of the feast days or the new moons or the Sabbath. It was because of what they were doing on those days. They were still doing their own will. They were still practicing their own sin. He says, my soul hates, they are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread forth your hand, see, they throw their hands wide. They spread forth their hands to pray to Yahweh or to ask for a prayer. They're going to pray. I will hide my eyes from you, is what Yahweh's saying. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. He doesn't hear prayers of sinners, and they were sinners. You know, we see that parable between the Pharisee and the publican. The publican is a tax collector. He was considered a sinner, right? The Pharisee says, I give tithes of all I get. I fast twice in the week. You know what, Yahweh, I'm not like that sinner over there. See? He's lifted himself up, and that's what they've done. The leadership of the Jews have lifted themselves up about how righteous they are because they're doing these things. They're keeping the feast. They're keeping this. They're keeping that. But what does Yahweh say? This feast, your new moon, my soul hates. See, because you're doing it in wickedness. You're not doing it for me. They weren't doing it for Yahweh. They were doing it because it was commanded. And you can't just do it because it's commanded. You have to do it because you love Yahweh and you're repentant. He says, they are a trouble to me and I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Speak justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So you got to keep the third tithe. That's a part of it. When you're judging the fatherless, you're there for them. You're making sure that you're spending that third tithe in the right place, taking care of the fatherless and the widow. Verse 18, Come now and let us reason together, says Yahweh, for your sins are as scarlet. They're red. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Yahweh wants his people to come to him as humble as they can be. And he will exalt them. He will give them the kingdom if they're willing and obedient. And see, this is what we're looking for right there. We're looking for people, like it says in verse 19, who are willing and obedient, because we're looking for obedience in the kingdom. And that's what's going to get you there, by being obedient to the commandment, by being obedient to Yahweh and his authority. Right now, you have so many people who are not willing to submit to Yahweh's authority. See, every man is doing what is right in his own eyes. He believes that he knows more than anybody else because he hears Yahweh. Now, if people are hearing Yahweh, then why aren't they keeping the feast? Why aren't they doing what Yahweh asked them to do? Why aren't they submitting to the authority and keeping the covenant and every aspect of it? Now, I'm coming to you as an elder of Yahweh's Philadelphia Truth Congregation. Yahweh's Philadelphia Truth Congregation is an organization, an international organization that has members throughout the world. Okay? This is not just it. This is the core here in America. We are the core that makes everything else go. Okay? Sister Walker put money up, donated money, built a meeting house over in Gatumo, Chichi. And this is the Kisi tribe, the 42 tribes in Kenya. And in Malawi, there are like another 32 tribes, but they're different people. Now, out of these 42 tribes and these 32 tribes, you have different dialects among all of the people. One of the things you'll find over there is that every tribe had a different mighty one that they worshiped. Okay? And what happened is when the missionaries went over there, they got them to, even in their Bibles, put the name of that mighty one. They didn't get them to change it, and they would use the term G-O-D exclusively, but the specific name they would use in their dialect of Swahili for that individual. Same thing in Malawi. Malawi is heavily Catholic. The majority of the people that, you know, aren't something else, Baptist, Methodist, or whatever. Catholicism rules the majority of the tribe. Yet, you have a lot of people over there who are speaking, and they're coming over. Like Seventh-day CFG is where we get most of our members. But we have some members from that were in Seventh-day CFG and some that were just in the CFG, okay? And they came over to our way of thinking and our worship because they wanted more. They were looking and they were seeking. And when they heard of Yahweh's Philadelphia Truth Congregation, the elder that we have in Malawi had been seeking. He said he knew the name Yahweh. He had heard it, okay? Because he was involved with a group out of England, which is called, I think, Congregation of Yahweh. But they were different. They had women preachers. They had some other things that they were kind of questioning, okay? Because he said they asked the leadership there in England about, like, a question about homosexuality, because this is a big thing right now about them accepting homosexuals and homosexual preachers and leaders. Now, when I talk to the leader over there, I'm speaking of in England, he says, no, they don't believe that. They do have women preachers, but they don't believe in homosexuals leading congregations or being a part of the ministry. Okay? But you're going to find that a lot of these groups now are not only ordaining homosexuals, they are allowing them to lead congregations. And that smacks in the face of the scriptures. They will not be in the kingdom of Yahweh because that's not obedient to the word. See? And Yahweh says that in the word, you won't find them in the kingdom of Yahweh. So the reason I brought that up is because I wanted you to give you a background of where some of the people are coming from, because they know that it's wrong. And yet, when they see people trying to cram that down their throats and say, well, you know, this is the direction that we're going in, that's why you see people moving from one organization to another. And this is why growth is great in that area, because you have a lot of people who are looking for the truth. So they want to be in the right place. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, the word of that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established on the top of the mountain. And that means the government of Yahweh. And the top of the mountains, Jerusalem sits on the top. See? You have mountains all around. You have to go up to Jerusalem. And shall be exalted above the hill. All nations shall flow to it. Does it say some nation? It says all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us his way. And we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many nations. And will decide concerning many people. And they shall beat their swords in the plowshares. Right now, their swords are being used to kill. There's war all over the world. And their spears in the pruning hook. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And this is what's going to happen in the kingdom. Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. We're going to start in verse 13. Isaiah 65:13. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, which is what we're doing in the Feast of Tabernacles. But you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall wail for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse to my chosen. And the sovereign Yahweh will kill you, and he will call his servants by another name. So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Elohim of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the Elohim of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem of rejoicing and her people of joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And truly Yahweh is taking joy in each one of his servants, each one of his people who are here worshiping, rejoicing before him. And there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. There shall be no more there an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be cursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the works of their hands, an olive tree lives for 1,000 years. And this 1,000-year millennium, you'll see these things taking place. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth calamity. For they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The change of these beasts, the nature of them has not changed. And it won't until the kingdom has been established. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy. And all my holy mountain to Jah. So this holy mountain, this kingdom, is what Yahweh is speaking of. Chapter 14. Zechariah 14, and we'll start in verse 1. Zechariah 14, 1. Behold, a day of Yahweh comes when your plunder shall be divided in the middle of you. For I will gather all nations under Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now this will precede what we just read about in Isaiah 65. It says, in verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall divide in the middle of it, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half toward the south. And you shall flee by the valley of my mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh My Elohim shall come, and all the holy ones with you. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light, and the bright ones shall withdraw themselves. But it shall be one day which is known to Yahweh, not day and not night. It's only known to Yahweh, this day. But it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light. And it shall come to pass in that day the living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall Yahweh be one, and his name one. All the land that shall be made like the Arabah, from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and she shall be lifted up and shall dwell in her place, from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate, to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine press, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more curse, but Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Sounds like a nuclear blast. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations all around shall be gathered together. Gold and silver and apparel in great abundance, and so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and of the camel and of the ass and all the beasts that shall be in those camps as the plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, this is the residue, the children of all the nations that came up against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh's host, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoever of all the families of the earth that goes not up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh's host, upon them there shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt goes not up and comes not, neither shall it be upon them. There shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They bring a plague upon themselves. Now, in this kingdom, in the millennium, we will be teaching those children, we will be teaching the nation the feast day. We will be teaching them the Sabbath day. We will be teaching them the new moon. See? They're going to learn the law of Yahweh. It says in verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, holy to Yahweh, Kodesh la Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holy to Yahweh of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil in it, and in that day there shall be no more Canaanites in the house of Yahweh of hosts. Now, in the days of Yahshua the Messiah, the Canaanite that is talking about is a merchant. They were in the house of Yahweh selling wares. Oh, you can buy this unblemished sheep to offer as a sacrifice, you know, because yours is not good enough. The priest wouldn't accept yours, but you can take this one. This is priest approved, just like they were money changers who were taking the money that they brought You had to have the temple shekel. See? And it's only going to cost you, you know, a little bit. So, you know, money changers, money stuck in their hand. So the people lost money when they went to the temple. Just like, you know, they lost money when they had to buy another sacrifice. But with Yahshua the Messiah, there's no need for that. See? Everybody's good. Micah chapter 4. And this is a companion passage of Isaiah chapter 2. Micah 4, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "But in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established on the top of the mountain. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall go and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, the city of peace. And he will judge between many peoples and will decide concerning strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. War is the thing of the past. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh has, of hosts has spoken it. For all the peoples walk, every one in the name of his mighty one, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh Elohim forever and ever." And see, those children that have come out of all those different nations, they have to be taught of Yahweh. And this is what we're going to teach them when they come to Jerusalem, when they come to the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to teach them of Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. We'll start in verse 4. "And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste city, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the wealth of the nation, because the priests receive the tithe. They get the heave offering. They get the first fruit. And in their glory shall you boast yourself. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion." See, no longer will Yahweh's people be looked down upon. They will be looked up to. They're going to be lifted up. "Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be to them. For I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity. And I will give them their recompense in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the nations, their children, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And guess who they're going to be praising? They're going to be praising God. Yes. And that's our job, to get that job done, get it to that point where they know of the Mighty One of Israel. Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were gone, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away.' And he that sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" Now in chapter 20, we have the white throne judgment. And this is after the 1,000-year millennium. This is eternity. This is what we're going to get into on the last great day. And he says, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he says to me, "They have come to pass. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is thirsty of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things. And I will be his El, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Which we saw in 20, they were judged, and they were judged, and they were destroyed. Their part was in that. Verse 9, "And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, who were loaded with the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me, saying, 'Come here, and I will show you the bride, and the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Yahweh. Her light was like a most precious stone, as it were a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written on them, which are the name of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east side, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And this is why I'm so adamant about all of these apostles that claim to be apostles who are false on Facebook, on the internet, who are out here preaching, talking about they've been called by the Savior. And they use the wrong name, most of them. Okay? There are only 12 apostles, 12 foundations. All these others are imposters. Verse 15, "And he that spoke with me had for a measure a golden reed to measure the city and the gates and the walls of it. And the city lies four square, and the length of it as great as the width. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the width and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall of it 144 cubits, according to the measures of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like pure glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th hyacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the several gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple within it, for Yahweh El Shaddai and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city has no need of sun, neither the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of Yahweh did light it. And the lamp of it is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk amidst the lights of it. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And the gates of it shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter anything unclean, he that makes an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will be able to enter that holy city, will be able to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's our goal, brother. That's what we're seeking to be in. And that's why our obedience now, today, will get us there in the Lamb's book of life and in the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, before I have a closing prayer, I'll open it up. Are there any questions? Okay. And Micah. Yeah. The reason I said Micah. Because when you have power over individuals, and one thing you'll know about the Jewish people today, they are wealthy. Whatever society they live in, they're rich for the most part because they've received the blessings of Abraham and whatnot. But still, when it talks about hands being full of blood, rich people control the majority of the wealth and the lives of the other people. Where it talks about they holding back the money of the workers that have mown their fields and done the work for them. They put their blood, sweat, and tears in and did not receive what they were truly due to receive. And Micah chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "With what shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does Yahweh require of you, but to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your Elohim." Now, again, when we look at the Jewish people as a whole, they knew the covenant. And like I said, they control a lot of the wealth of the world. And when you don't use your power for good, you're using it for evil. Now, they know, just like, and I'll get into this in one of the Bible studies I have coming up. We're going to talk about part of the sabbatical, how the land is supposed to lie fallow. They, in turn, sell it to the Gentiles without their knowledge. Just like the Passover, they sell the leaven without their knowledge. And then after the Passover, they bring the leaven back in the house. Okay? Yahweh tells us to get rid of the leaven. You throw it away. I mean, we've learned over the years not to give it away for the most part. You use it up as we get close to the Passover. You buy less and less, and you use it to get down to that point where you have very little to get rid of. But you got to get rid of it, all of it. You can't say, you know, I'm going to actually, you know, sell this to my neighbor and therefore, you know, get around Yahweh. And they do try to get around Yahweh too often. And they can't. You can't get around Yahweh. Whatever you do, whether the abortions, that the blood, there are many abortions in the land of Israel, almost as many, and it's a small nation, almost as many as going on in some of the larger nations like the U.S., okay? Because we do have some laws concerning it, and it's become legal, but it's a sin. And yet, they're doing it over there like it's going out of style. The blood of these unborn children are crying out, just like the blood of Abel cried out against Cain. And this is what's happening in Israel. So those who oppress the poor, and that's what's happening, they are oppressing the poor in a lot of ways. And Yahweh is putting that blood on their head. See? And the Jewish people, I mean, he's going to deal with the Gentiles as well, but for the most part, a lot of them don't know. You're responsible for the knowledge that Yahweh gives you. And they've had this knowledge for many, many years. And that's why a lot of them, one of the TV personalities in Baltimore who used to work with Oprah Winfrey, Richard Scheer, and I met him. My mother and my Tyrone's mother, TJ's mom, used to work for them when it came to the feast day. They would go over and, you know, do a lot of the domestic stuff, get the house ready. When my father died, you know, he came by and asked my mom if there was anything she needed. And she basically told him no, but he says, if there's anything you need, you let me know, and I'll take care of it. As a matter of fact, he wanted her to go see his heart doctor because they couldn't figure out what was going on with her pacemaker and her heart. And I don't know if she ever went, but he says, I'll pay for it. You just go, you know. And, I mean, the man was legitimate. He's a decent person, but not all of them are like that. You know, a lot of them just don't have the good heart. You know, they can be pretty rough. I've dealt with a lot of them like that. But then again, like I said, you know, Yahweh's going to judge you according to your knowledge. And they have a lot of knowledge that they're not putting into practice. Yes, they go through the motions. They keep the feast days. They do. But they look down on other people as Goyim. They don't want to treat you the way that Yahweh wants you to be treated. He wants everybody to be treated the same. Anything else? I have some other scriptures that I can give you for that I didn't just pull up right now, but you know what, I didn't unmute. Sorry, I didn't unmute. Did you have any questions out there before we wrap this up? Anyone? Okay, we'll have a closing prayer then at this time.
Conference muted.
Y'all please rise. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, again, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank and praise your name. We ask, Father, that you would bless your people, that we would continue to be obedient to you and continue to come out as required when you call us to the place where we place your name, Father, to keep your feet and to do your will. Father, help us to treat all those that come in contact with us with love and respect. Help us to help those who are in need, to bless those, Father, who are less blessed, that we would share with them, Father, the hope that is within us, and that we would truly lift them up so that they can worship you in spirit and in truth and give honor and glory and praise to your name. We thank you for the example that you've given us to your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave his life that each one of us might have this opportunity to come before you in spirit and in truth and to give honor and glory and praise to you. In Yahshua's name we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now tomorrow